Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
Show serving up hot and fresh live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and our guy Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus. As one drops off, you can jump aboard as well. If you don't have the number programmed in your phone by now, what is your excuse? I've been doing this since 2005, for God's sakes. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. You also can tweet at us at 1250 AM. The Fan as well. CBS 58's Kevin Holden and Christina Tuso joins the Bill Michaels huddle tonight, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, tonight at 6 o'clock as they preview the Packers and Texans right here on 1250 AM. The Fan.
Who should you start this week? Who is the best pickup on the waiver wire? Should you really make that trade? It's time to get all of your answers with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. Brought to you by Creative Construction of Wisconsin. Over 90 years of experience. For all of your stucco or plaster needs, go to callcreativeconstruction.com.
All right, time to do some fantasy football with our guy, Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus. Joins us on the great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ian, I'll start first, and then we'll get to the calls and the listeners of this show and tweets and so forth. 13-year-old at home picked up Antonio Brown in our league and said, I'm just going to hold on to him and hope that he does something in the next couple of weeks once he finds a team. Would you suggest others do the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not in every single lineup scenario, because I was saying that, you know, of course someone out there happens to have, you know, four or five top 20 receivers already on their, you know, in their five-team league or whatever they got going on. But, no, I think in general, absolutely, because, look, bench stashes, we want best-case scenario, high-upside guys. We have seen exactly what AB is capable of over the past half decade when he is out there on the field. I think, you know, if you got, you know, just a guy that, you know, you're looking at maybe, you know, 5 to 8 targets per week, having someone like AB that could truly, you know, win your league if he ends up going to the right spot, absolutely. Go pick that guy up if you haven't already.
And who knows what Seattle would be like for him, but not bad having Russell Wilson as your quarterback. I know that much. Joe in Cedarburg, you're first up with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got a standard league. I need two of these five. Cooper Kupp, Mike Williams, James Robinson, Jerick McKinnon, and Antonio Gibson.
Two of those five, yeah. I would be going with James Robinson. He's just had the usage all season of a, you know, true featured RB1, even in games like last week where the Jaguars got behind, still managed to catch a touchdown late. As annoying as, you know, Chris Thompson can be with those targets, sometimes the Jaguars truly do trust James Robinson, so you should as well, all you fantasy managers out there. And then I would say it's between Cooper Kupp and Mike Williams. It's not the greatest spot for Cooper Kupp, but I think I would go back to the well here. He's a little more of a borderline wide receiver two than his usual wide receiver one this week against the Bears. But, you know, you still look at this Rams offense, and they want to, you know, week in and week out, move this passing game through Cooper Kupp, through Robert Woods. And, you know, it wasn't the best performance on that last Sunday night game, but you saw, you know, just the miscues that Goff and Kupp had. Those have been few and far between over the past couple of years. Tough matchup, but I think Kupp has a pretty good chance of bouncing back.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. I got one here on Twitter, tweeting at 1250 AM The Fan, hashtag Big Fantasy. Swift or Melvin Gordon? That comes from Millbucks2.
Yeah, man, that's a decent question after that Swift breakout game last week. I think I would have to go with Swift at this point. I have them literally right next to each other. Swift is my RB 26 and Gordon is my RB 27. But we just don't really know what we're getting from Gordon after having, you know, that DUI. And, you know, is he hurt or is he, you know, kind of on like a team suspension or what's going on? So if he's back out there this week, you know, we didn't see him with Philip Lindsay for more than about a quarter of football in week one. I think it's going to be, you know, best case for Gordon, probably something like a 50-50 timeshare, even with Royce Freeman maybe getting in there as well. Meanwhile, with Swift, you know, even though Adrian Peterson's still there, we're still looking at a situation where moving forward, he should be getting double-digit carries with the potential for 3 to 5 targets per game. Can't necessarily say Gordon will be getting that, and considering that they are going, you know, and facing, you know, the Chiefs team in a matchup that could get away from them fairly quickly, I'm not sure he's going to have a chance to establish himself much on the ground.
Jeff in Oak Creek here next time with Ian Hart. It's a Pro Football Focus. What's your fantasy football question?
Hey, Ian, so I got a question I need to answer two ways. I got two quarterbacks I got to choose from. I don't like either one of them right now, Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo. My question is, if you could pick one between those two for me, and then answer, if I could go get Cam Newton, should I start him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go cut Jimmy G and get Cam Newton, please, man. This dude is on pace for the second most rush attempts by a quarterback ever in a season, behind only Lamar Jackson. He's on pace to shatter his own rushing touchdown mark. Last week, you know, he did not do anything as a passer, and he was still beating, you know, what his projections were just because of this wild rushing upside. We wonder if the Patriots would use Cam as, you know, to his true kind of dual threat talents. And the answer is literally more than any other offense has ever used Cam. So, you know, it's kind of been weird with him missing the game, the whole COVID thing with the Patriots, but we need to treat Cam as an every week top 10 QB. He's my QB7 on the week. I would definitely start him over those guys. If, you know, for some reason he's not there, give me Wentz over Jimmy G, purely because Wentz, over these last few weeks, once everyone's gotten hurt, he has started running more than we have ever seen before. So that's the problem with Jimmy G. I mean, it's not even, you know, the matchup also isn't all that great this week, and you know, just going him to Belichick and all those guys, but having that rushing floor in fantasy football is just so important. You know, dual threat QBs, running backs that can catch passes. Anytime we can get those two separate means of production, you want to do it. So yeah, go sign Cam Newton and get Jimmy G out of here.
All right, there goes Jeff in Oak Creek. Here comes Matt on Twitter, tweeting at 1250 AM The Fan, hashtag Big Fantasy. I'm in a PPR league and need to start one of these four players: David Johnson, Brandon Cooks, T. Higgins, or Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, it's going to have to be David Johnson this week. No defense in the league has allowed more fantasy points per game to opposing running backs than the Green Bay Packers. And this one is looking like a potential shootout with a bunch of points being scored. And David Johnson, I mean, look, he hasn't quite been all that great this year, but he's still been a weekly RB2. It's not like this guy is consistently dudding. We just kind of wanted more. So last week had two separate instances where he was stonewalled inside the one-yard line. He's had, by my count, three targets this year from Deshaun Watson that if he was able to put him in a better spot, I think he would have had receiving touchdowns. So we've seen Duke Johnson come back. It's still David's backfield by far. You know, anytime you have these running backs that have the 15, the 20 touch potential on an every week basis, you gotta go back to the well with them, even when we have, you know, these more disappointing performances. So matchup, you know, potential for touchdown aggression, give me David Johnson.
All right, let's go to Sean in Bayview. You're next time with Ian Hartis from Pro Football Focus. What's your fantasy football question?
Hey, thanks for having me over. So I got a lot of wide receivers. I need three out of these six. I got DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson from Carolina. I got Juju and Young Claypool from Pittsburgh, Will Fuller, and Darius Slayton. So I need three out of those six out of PPR.
Yeah, so I would be going with the Panthers receivers, both DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. You know, it feels weird starting two wide receivers from the same team. I get it, but we're literally talking about two top 10 receivers in total targets this season. I mean, that's been the whole kind of confusion with the Panthers. Is it Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore? The answer is Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. This is not an offense dominated by Christian McCaffrey in the passing game like we've seen in years past, and, you know, with a potential shootout on the horizon against the Saints. I think you can jam both those guys in. Claypool keeps balling, man, but with Deontay Johnson coming back, we just don't really quite know what that rotation is going to be. And then with Juju, he keeps popping up early in the week on the injury report with a knee injury. I just don't think he's healthy. Darius Slayton, just anyone involved in this Giants offense is so anemic, and I kind of worry how they're going to handle that Eagles pass rush. And that leads me to Mr. Will Fuller. Might be catching shadow coverage from Yair Alexander, you know, which is never ideal. But, you know, as great as Yair was against Calvin Ridley and Mike Evans, he did give up a decent little gain to Adam Thielen back in week one. So Fuller, I think, is just someone that we got to, you know, live with the occasional lows, because the chance for, you know, his true Will Fuller boom week, not many guys have that sort of high-end projected range of outcomes. So give me DJ Moore, Robbie, and Will Fuller.
All right, got another tweet here. This one from Jake using the hashtag BigFancy, tweeting at 1250 AM The Fan. PPR, running back, D. Freeman, Justin Jackson, or pick up Bernard if Mixon is out?
I don't think Mixon is in too much of a threat being out. I would just caution if Mixon does end up being out. Like, look at what happened with the Giants when Saquon went out, and everyone kind of assumed Deion Lewis was just going to take over that role. That's not what happened. They not only brought in Devontae Freeman, but even if they hadn't have done that, I think Wayne Gallman would have been the guy actually coming up and getting some of those early down reps over Gio Bernard. So they actually keep Travion Williams, you know, inactive on game day, but I think he is actually the true Mixon early down backup. Bernard would get some work, but he would not be this instant kind of RB1 that someone like Latavius Murray might be. So just be careful in kind of projecting these bigger roles on the backups. With that said, I would have to go at this point with Devontae Freeman, I think. Justin Jackson, if we get some news that this injury is fine, but he popped up an injury report with the knee thing, so I'm a little bit worried, and we got Joshua Kelly stealing his way too. I was, you know, skeptical of what Devontae Freeman could do with the Giants. He hasn't exactly been out there balling, but he did look better than he has all season last week, and they have now officially just given him pretty much the Saquon Barkley role that he was getting. I mean, there were only a handful of running backs that were on the field more often than Devontae Freeman last week. So, you know, mentions before with Jones, I don't love the, you know, Giants offensive line against this ferocious Philly defensive line, but I think, you know, with Freeman, we probably have more guaranteed volume than either of those other backs. So I would take him and, you know, not feel great about it, but I have Freeman RB24, Jackson 25. So if you just want to flip a coin between those two, that's also an option.
Top of the hour brought to you by Toro Snowblowers. For Grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. More questions for Ian Hart. It's a Pro Football Focus. If you have a fantasy football question, get him in. He's here till 4:30, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Use the hashtag BigFantasy. If you're on hold, you will be up. Guaranteed. In the next segment. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here at 1250 AM The Fantasy Broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Doing fantasy football with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus, like we do each and every single Thursday from 4 to 4:30. Ben in Greenfield, you're next on The Fan.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Ian, I need one of these running backs. I've got Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, Deion Swift, and James Robinson. I need one.
Yeah, so I think we're still go back the well with Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point. I know Le'Veon's there, but truly do think he's probably just going to take that Darrell Williams role sooner rather than later. I mean, I think Andy Reid even said earlier this week that, you know, he might not even be active for this first game in a situation. So Swift, you know, kind of lost in that big performance was the reality that, one, they were playing the Jaguars' awful defense, and that Adrian Peterson was still pretty much just involved as always. Robinson, you know, also a solid choice. You know, I would hope you have a pretty loaded wide receiver room and, you know, other guys to fill out the flex, because he's my RB13 on the week. But ultimately, still think we got to treat Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the top 10 back. He's been, you know, for most of this season, and if the guy would just get a little bit better touchdown luck, he's had a two nullified by penalty in the past 2 weeks. I think he could actually flirt with that, you know, top six, top five mark that most of us were hoping for before the season started.
All right. Thanks so much, Ben. Let's go to Paul in Sussex. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Ian Hart. It's a Pro Football Focus.
thanks for taking my call. I've got a wide receiver blood as well. Assuming Mike Evans is a lock, I'm looking for two of these four. Claypool, Fulgham, and then I've got John Brown and Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, so John Brown's banged up. He might try to gut it out again, but even last week, seeing him play, he's not at 100%. I think among that group, as you said, Evans is definitely a lock, so I would go with Claypool and Fulgham. Hold on to Jeudy, though, because, you know, Drew Lock, you look at the box score last week, and okay, under 50% completion rate, two pretty bad picks, not great, but this guy had an 18-yard average target depth. Usually we see, you know, the top quarterbacks in the league topping off at around 10 or 11 yards, so Lock truly loves to throw the ball down the field, and that's going to benefit Jeudy and Patrick in future matchups. But I think for this week at least, Claypool, you know, he continues to make the most out of, you know, relatively limited opportunities. And then Fulgham, hey, you know, with the Eagles really having no other pass game success other than throwing him the ball, even getting DeSean Jackson back. I mean, I think DeSean Jackson is just going to take John Hightower's role as a field stretching guy. Still fully expect Fulgham to get that 8 to 10 targets mark. Not the easiest matchup against James Bradbury, but it is still a situation that I think volume will ultimately overcome the tough matchup.
All right, thanks for the call. A couple tweets coming in here. This one from Raza, who says, Big Ben or Minshew? Hashtag Big Fantasy.
Yeah, I would go Minshew at this point still. Actually, you know what? Give me Roethlisberger. I had Minshew up a little bit earlier this week, but there started to be some murmurs from, like, Marone, the Jaguars coaching staff, and, you know, DJ Chark was unhappy with some of the passes. Honestly, like, the Jaguars dropped season high four passes last week. I did not think it was necessarily a situation where Minshew played all that bad, but you know what? It doesn't really matter what I think. It's what matters what DJ Chark and that coaching staff think. So I'm a little worried about Minshew's potential for an in-game benching. So with that in mind, I would go Big Ben. He has a career low average target depth right now. He's been way more of a game manager than, you know, that just active gunslinger we're used to. But I do think in this matchup against the Titans, we could see both offenses kind of bring out the most of each other and really have to throw the ball more than usual.
All right, got some more coming in on Twitter as well. And it's fun when, and I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but I think it's fun when you get the trade proposals brought to you. And sometimes I see these trade proposals, and I realize that sometimes people just are trying to swindle other people. And sometimes there are good trades, right? Sometimes there are. Dylan tweets at 12:50 a.m., the fan, hashtag big fantasy trade question, super flex. A PPR dynasty league trade. Russell Wilson, Mike Davis, Nick Foles, and LaVisca receive Lamb, Cousins, and Davante Adams.
Davante. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Take CD. Did I hear dynasty as well?
Dynasty league, right. So he gives up Russell Wilson, Mike Davis, Nick Foles, and LaVisca. Gets back Lamb, Cousins, and Davante Adams.
Look, it's annoying to have to give up Russell Wilson, but Mike Davis is going to be irrelevant as early as next week, unfortunately, because the Panthers, you know, have, I think it's, what, 64 million reasons to continue to play McCaffrey as their overall RB1. Foles, like, okay, he's out there winning some football games, but we haven't seen anything resembling a fantasy relevant guy. And while I do like LaVisca's long-term potential, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is, I mean, I had a podcast yesterday where, you know, the guy I was with was saying CeeDee Lamb is the overall dynasty wide receiver one right now. I wouldn't put him at that number one spot, but he's certainly in the top 10 probably. So you're getting Lamb, Devontae, those are seriously two top 10 dynasty wide receivers right now. I'd be surprised if LaVisca is kind of even the top 30 at this point. Again, not brutal. And then with Kirk Cousins there, like, yeah, it's definitely a downgrade going from Russell Wilson to Kirk Cousins, but I just think even and it's super flex, which doesn't help, but the chance to get two top 10 wide receivers, I think, is far too much to pass up.
All right, let's go to John in Greendale. You're next with Ian Hart. It's a Pro Football Focus here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I got a wide receiver question. I got Robbie Anderson, DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, who's questionable, and Calvin Ridley, who's questionable. I need two to start in the PPR league.
I'm guessing your team is 6-0. Mercy, you got some receivers on the squad. So Metcalf, lock him in any single time. That dude is healthy enough to suit up, and the same should be said for Godwin and Ridley. Robbie, I mean, has been awesome this year, but we're, you know, at a situation where you got four of my top 14 wide receivers on the squad entering this week. So I have them ranked right now. Metcalf, I have Ridley number one, Metcalf number two, Goblin number three and Robbie number four. So I think he said two of them. So yeah, give me Ridley and Metcalf, assuming that Ridley's elbow injury isn't anything serious.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Tom in Tulsa. You're next with Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Hey, with these buys, I'm looking to maybe start a second tight end in my flex. So either TJ Hockenson or keep Cooper Kupp. I don't like Cooper's matchup against the Bears.
Yeah, I hear you. I would still go back to the well with Cooper, though. I mean, it's still a situation where the Bears, this matchup could actually force the Rams to throw the ball a little bit more than they've had to this season. And as bad as last week was, I mean, you look at a couple of those deep balls that Goff threw, and I think a little better communication with Kupp if Robert Woods keeps his feet in bounds on the sideline. Another one, we're talking about a potential 300-yard performance. So it's, you know, Goff definitely hasn't looked good against that Bears defense in recent years, but he's been playing well this year in his limited opportunities. We're just not seeing the same sort of 45 pass attempt games that gave him some more prolific numbers in past years. So at the end of the day, I mean, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods form one of the more condensed two wide receiver kind of trees in the league. Hockenson, if he was playing a full-time role, man, I'd be fine going to the well with him. But unfortunately, they got Sheriff Jesse James taking away targets and snaps from the guy I like. So it is a potential shootout with the Lions and Falcons. But I just worry that, you know, Hockenson these days, it seems like our best-case scenario is like 20 yards and a touchdown, even though he looks like one of the better young tight ends in the league when he gets his opportunities. So it's a situation where I think Kupp's going to get three or four more targets, and that's just too much to make the switch.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. I got another one here from Kevin tweeting at 12:50 a.m. The Fan, hashtag Big Fantasy. Would you trade Deebo Samuel for Dallas Goedert? Full point PPR. My other tight end is Johnny Smith. Other wide receivers are Nuke Hopkins, Michael Thomas, AJ Green, and Tim Patrick. We have three flex spots in the league. My worry is I weaken myself at receiver too much. Thanks.
I'd be fine holding on to Johnny. I mean, I don't have a clear picture of when Dallas Goedert is going to be back in the picture. He's going to be, you know, a mid to high end tight end one every single week as long as Zach Ertz is out. But I mean, from my understanding, Ertz also doesn't have an injury that's going to take him out to exactly like week 17 or anything like that. So Johnny Smith has already been a top five tight end this season. It sucked last week that he got injured and Anthony Firster did his thing. But, you know, saw right before I hopped on this radio show that Johnny actually got in a full practice this week. So, I mean, Johnny and Goddard are going to be ranked, you know, fairly similarly. And I really like what they're doing with Deebo Samuel right now, more or less using him as a running back. So in the 49ers offense with Raheem Mostert sideline, it's get the ball to George Kittle, number one. It's get the ball of Deebo Samuel number two. When you have a mind like Kyle Shanahan kind of making that happen, and you know the wide receivers you mentioned, I think Deebo should be in that wide receiver three spot pretty much every week.
So then you're saying for him to keep Deebo Samuel, not make the trade for Dallas?
Correct.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to Ryan in Waterford. You're next to here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, need some help at the quarterback position. Looking either for Watson or Allen.
Man, good problem to have. You got two of my top five QBs. I will go back the well with Josh Allen. He's played this Jets team three times, found the end zone as a rusher all three times, and this year in week one had absolutely no problem as a passer as well. So, you know, he's had a couple down performances over the past 2 weeks, but, you know, even in, you know, 2019 when he wasn't playing anywhere near as well as he's played this year, he still finished as a top seven quarterback because the guy runs the ball more than pretty much anyone not named Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray. So Watson actually playing at a career best level somehow in most metrics, despite not having DeAndre Hopkins there. I think their defense has just kind of been not keeping them in games for the most part there. But no, I think Josh Allen has still earned this you know, auto start treatment. But hey man, it's a good problem to have.
Sounds good, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Alan Sussex. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a quarterback question too. Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, we're going to go back and fire up Mahomes. I know Rodgers in that potential, you know, shootout with the Texans this week, but Mahomes, we just got to give it to the guy. No matter what the game script calls for, I mean, even last week in a situation where, you know, the Bills were pretty much inviting the Chiefs to run, just try to keep the ball out of his hands, and they, you know, only time, you know, Mahomes was even throwing was seemingly, you know, on these, like, third and long situations. But the guy, ever since he got healthy at the end of last season, he's been averaging, you know, between 25 and 50 rushing yards per game pretty much, and it's just unfair for someone that can obviously make any throw on the field like Mahomes to have that sort of rushing floor. So, you know, regardless of the matchup, you know, we know that both Mahomes and Rodgers kind of have that 300-yard multi-passing touchdown upside in them. But in terms of that rushing, it's just not even close. It's Patrick Mahomes. So give me Mahomes, my number three quarterback, as was the case with the last caller. It's a good problem to have. Again, you got two good ones. But I do think Mahomes, you know, should be pretty much started every single week.
Last call, Bill in Oak Creek. You're next up with Ian Harditz.
I need help by running back. I lost Mostert and I lost Nick.
And Bill, we're losing you. That's the issue here. Start over.
So yeah, sorry. I need help at running back, and I lost Nick Chubb, and I lost Mostert, and I'm looking at the waiver wire between Jamal Williams and Rex Burkhead, because I know Mike Davis is going to be out, I think, next week, and Johnson I have is my only other running back. What do you think?
Yeah, man, that's a rough spot to be in. I mean, you shouldn't be looking to start, you know, either Jamal or Rex unless, you know, unless you truly can't avoid it. Because the thing with Jamal, I mean, I know he had that big game a couple weeks ago, but the thing is, that was with Devontae Adams out, and we have seen the Packers, you know, historically spike their RB's target share when Adams is out. When he's in, it's going to be the Aaron Jones show more times than not. I would probably, if you just want to stash one of them, I'd probably still go with Jamal, because Rex is a couple injuries away from having a real relevant role while Jamal is actually just one. You said you had a Johnson on the squad. If it's David, I mean, definitely get him in there. If it's Duke, probably not so much. So if it is that drastically bad of a situation, I would say go with Jamal Williams. But, you know, you might just want to start, like, doing some community service, try to get the fantasy gods on your side, because that is not looking good, my friend.
Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Ian, like always, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you then. Help everyone else. A good week seven.
Take care. There is Ian Hart. It's a Pro Football Focus on the Great Midwest Bank hotline of applying for a home renovation loan. As you're feeling anxious, just breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. It really is just that simple. Don't take chances with COVID-19 and your family's health. Check your temperature before dinner and in the morning. Get an accurate reading in seconds with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. The only home thermometer used and recommended by physicians and nurses. Stay safe with Exogen. Coming up next, we'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur here on the Wendy's Big Show. An adjustment, and we've made a change on the fly. Instead of listening to Matt LaFleur from earlier today, we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers from yesterday instead. And Aaron Rodgers not in a good mood, apparently, yesterday during his presser, and wasn't in the mood to talk about the Buccaneers loss either, apparently.
Hey, Aaron, do you think, you know, based on how Tampa defended you, that teams, you know, have a better handle on the maturation of year one to year two?
So because of one game, what is it that you're implying, Mark?
Our team's figuring you out.
Oh.
One out of five.
All right. So there is Rodgers. Not one of
them. Tell him, Aaron. You tell him, Aaron.
Okay. Hot shot.
Next one, Rodgers is asked if he's down in the dumps. Seems like he's in a bad mood.
I'm definitely not down in the dumps, so don't project that onto me, because that's not a reality.
It's not a reality. He's not in a bad mood. Okay.
Why are y'all fishing, man?
All right. Here we go. The next one asks, what has his week been like after the blowout loss at the Texans? Or at Tampa, I should say.
We had Monday, you know, we had a normal Monday. Yesterday was a workout. It's a, you know, it's an optional Tuesday workout. So I didn't see everybody in. But it's still Wednesday. We obviously had a practice at this point. But the normal leaders have used their voice, you know, Billy Turner's and Mercedes and the guys. But you know, it's on each of us individually to be critical and to learn and grow. And then collectively as a group, you know, it's to move on. You know, at this point, we've moved on. We're on to Houston and That's the league. You know, it doesn't matter if you're playing really well and winning a game. It's the same thing. We can't be dwelling on the past game, especially we're at Wednesday already. We're on to the next opponent and moving on. We can't be feeling ourselves too much when it's going good and too down on ourselves or, you know, kind of hanging our heads a little bit when we're coming off a rough one. We got to, you know, we got to deal with each of them, the highs and the lows, you know, with a really even keeled mindset and a good focus each week.
All right, so there's Aaron Rodgers answering that one. The next one, Rodgers was asked, are there any warning signs learned from last week, like bad practice and so forth, to avoid this week getting ready for the Texans?
I have a firm belief in the manifestation of our thoughts and our words into reality, so I'm not even going to go down the hypothetical situation that you're referring to. You know, I do answer your questions best of my abilities at times. I'm not big on hypotheticals. In this case, like I've said this entire conference, the most important thing is to stick to the process and the plan and the routine. We are creatures of habit, and it's important to move forward. You know, by the time we watch that film on Monday, that's in the can. We're on to the next opponent. You know, the last 2 days we've been watching Houston. You know, we've been talking about Houston. We're on to the next situation. The biggest thing that we can do is just focus on what got us here and this opponent. You know, I think it's a good reminder for us, like I talked about yesterday, that, you know, we can't ride this roller coaster of feeling ourselves and reading all the clippings, you know, if it's going great, and then, you know, down in the dumps and not reading anything and feeling sorry for ourselves when we get beat like that. You know, you have to get off the surfboard and get off that wave, because this is a long season, and you have to find a process of preparation that works for you and move forward. But, you know, with all due respect, Stephen, I'm just not going to go down that hypothetical route, because that's not the way I believe.
I got to be serious here, with all due respect. I mean, yeah. He sounds like, based on that answer of, I'm done talking about losses in the middle of the week. Like, well, I'm done with that on Monday. Y'all talk to me on Wednesday. I don't want to talk about losses anymore on Wednesday. We want to talk about the next game, fine. And then in the same breath.
It's in the can.
Right. And then in the same breath says, man, we can't be on that wave here. We can't be going up and down. You know, we just got to keep it even keel. But he doesn't even want to talk about what happened last week. He was okay talking about what happened the previous week when they won. That was good. He had no problem
with
that.
Look at you.
Now they lose. Hey. I don't want to talk about that, but hey, we can't get too emotional over a loss. Man, I don't know. Sounds like to me, he does sound like all that happened to me, and he don't want to talk about what happened last week because he sucked. And I understand it. I mean, if I sucked, I wouldn't want to talk about it either, but I don't know. This whole thing rubs me the wrong way. Here's Aaron Rodgers continuing, asked when Troy Aikman on the broadcast said that Aaron Rodgers has seen every defense there is in the NFL. Is that true? Or is it just a sports cliche? I believe Mike Clemens, our very own, who will join us at 5:35, asked this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a cliche or a slight exaggeration. You know, defenses are always recreating things. I think from a base standpoint, where there's one high, two high, quarters, different variations of man or zone, yeah, you've maybe seen all that, but not maybe from the certain alignments, fronts. So, I mean, it's like a combination lock, you know, based on the front, the linebacker alignment, the corner alignment, the safety alignment, pre-snap, after snap, post-snap. When you throw all those together, there's, you know, a million different looks you can see. So I haven't seen a million different looks. But I have seen most of the coverages and pressures that I'm going to see in every game.
Leroy, were you ever playing a quarterback where no matter kind of what you drew up, you just kind of figured like he knew probably what was coming before it happened? Or did you always think like you had something on somebody when you faced him, regardless if it was Aikman or Steve Young or whoever it may be?
Yeah, Steve knew. I mean, he knows everything. But Aaron's right. The coverages. You've seen all the cover threes, fours.
Yeah.
You've seen all that. But the zone blitzes, the fronts, they can give you something you hadn't seen every week. That's why I got to him. You know, because it was one time he was doing a cadence. In the middle of his cadence, because we were wired up for NFL films. And he said, Blue 23, Leroy, I know you're coming. And I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. He said, hut. He came back and I sacked him. And he said, you bleep, 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 bleep. But he didn't say the word. He just said the word bleep.
Yeah, yeah, bleep, bleep.
He said, what was that? I said, I just sent Reggie down. That's all. That was it. Because normally Reggie's up the field. But this time I told Reggie to go underneath. I come on the outside. This was after the game, of course. And this guy was very smart. But he did it as a conversation after the game. You know, you go and, you know, you say stuff. Hey, what was that front you did? You don't mind, you know, discussing it. Because I think one of the players was like, don't tell him we even have to do it next year. I said, look, we already seen it. It's on film. I can tell him anything I want, you know. But it's still, the coverage is, and the personnel, you know that. You study that all week. That's the thing I'll tell you with the charts and the scout team. But if you don't know where Junior Seau is going to be, it's tough to block him. I mean, we knew that Lawrence Taylor was going to line up to the offensive left, but sometimes he would go over on the right.
Sure. And
that's how they get you. But the coverages, yeah, he's seen all that.
It's the subtle changes that they make. Within those. Quick story, we play in Chicago Bears Day in the Bear front. Singletary is at inside backer. I'm lined up in the I formation. And Dickie's at quarterback. And Singletary says, he's coming here, right here, right here, right here. He taps Hampton on the butt. Hampton moves right in the gap. I said, Dickie, change the damn play. What
happened?
He didn't change it.
And you ran into a brick wall.
That's right.
You ran into a brick wall.
Right into a brick wall.
Oh, that was nice of him. Okay.
That's my buddy. That's my quarterback.
That's your quarterback. Right. I love Lynn. Okay, so here
he
is.
Said better you than me.
That's pretty much what he said.
I'm not passing. Here's Aaron Rodgers, because Randall Cobb has been a key question.
Rodgers on one yesterday, wasn't he?
And that's fine. But, you know, don't keep it even keel. Don't be emotional.
All right, here we go.
Even if he is. What did Randall Cobb mean as a member of the Green Bay community? And this is a popular question, I think, to every single player the media talked to this week, was wanting to know about Randall Cobb, because you know he's a Texan. Here is Aaron Rodgers on Randall Cobb.
Well, I mean, he was always great in the community. There's been a few guys over the years who I've felt really typify what it means to be a Green Bay Packer. Unfortunately, the majority of those guys haven't been able to finish their career in Green Bay. You know, guys like John Kuhn and Jordy Nelson, Charles Woodson, Randall Cobb, A.J. Hawk, Clay Matthews, you know, just staples in the community, longtime Packers, great teammates, great locker room guys, leaders. You know, that there's no replacing the character for those guys that I mentioned. All very high character guys. And, you know, you miss those types of presences in the locker room.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll be gone next.
Wait. Did he take a shot at the front office right there?
About all those guys being gone?
Yeah. I think he did.
Yeah, I think he was just naming all the guys that he used to play with that are no longer there. I mean, Clay Matthews isn't playing anywhere. Jordy's not playing anywhere.
I know, but they're all gone. Too soon. Leaders. Like
Charles Woodson, he's done. Woodson's done.
Players that you want. Players that you want to have in the locker room. You know, they're all gone. No.
Good trying to create something.
Get my Leroy Butler hot voice. Oh, no. I think he did it.
No, I don't see nothing.
All right. Coming up next.
You media guys are always trying to star stuff.
Coming up next, an interesting stat about this NFL season concerning the NFL passer rating, and I want to see what Gary and Leroy think of it. That's straight ahead. Don't forget, Great Lakes Dragaway pick a lane coming up as well. Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North invites you to their fantastic Mercedes-Benz dealership, conveniently located off I-43 just north at Silver Spring Drive, just blocks away from Bayshore Town Center in Glendale. It's only 15 minutes away from anywhere in Milwaukee. Their knowledgeable team members are ready to provide you with the best that Mercedes-Benz has to offer. Sales, service, finance, parts, accessories, you name it, they got you at Mercedes-Benz in Milwaukee North. If you're looking for only the best offers on new and used Mercedes-Benz luxury cars and SUVs in the Milwaukee area, stop by. Test drive a Mercedes-Benz today. Who don't want to do that? Plus, they now have Sprinter and Metro's vans as well, and they'll service them for you if you get one there too. Plus, think about it from this aspect. If you own your own business and you have a fleet of vehicles that your employees use to go around and work on different work with different clients and haul a bunch of stuff in the back of their vans or whatever, go first class. Go with the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter and Metro vans. Check them out today at MercedesOfMilwaukeeNorth.com. That's MercedesOfMilwaukeeNorth.com. And then stop by the dealership. Tell them that Sparky and the Big Show sent you. Take great care of you and help you find the Mercedes-Benz that's a great fit for you. It's the only greater Milwaukee Metro best of the best Mercedes-Benz dealer in the city. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan, live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Going hunting up north? Don't want to miss your favorite shows on The Fan? The answer is easy. Simply download the Radio.com app. Take The Fan with you. Yeah, that's the absolute best way to do it. And I know so many of you like to get out early and go hunting and all that stuff. So you probably listen to Bart's show, right? Nick Costos, you better, you bet, at 7 a.m., sports handicapper. And then at 8:30 tomorrow morning, Cody Stutz,
Cody,
Texans reporter for SI, tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning on the Bart Winkler show. Pro Football Talk has a article out on NFL passer ratings. In 2000 and, well, let's go back. In 1950, the average passer rating in the NFL was 52.9.
Okay.
In 1960, it was 64.2.
Okay.
1970, 65.6. Are we noticing a trend? It's going up. It's
going up.
In 1980, 73.7 was the average passer rating.
Okay.
The formula has not changed for the passer rating, by the way. Okay. In 1990, it was 77.3. So over that decade, it went up 4 points. In 2000, it went up only not even 1 point. From 77.3 in 1990, in 2000, it was 78.1.
Okay.
In 2010, it shot up 6 points to 84.1. And in 2020, right now, the highest it's ever been, it's at 94.1 is the average passer rating in the National Football League. What does that say to you, Leroy Butler?
Well, I tell you what, it's a quarterback-driven league, I tell you that. That's why all these guys getting $100 million guaranteed. I mean, the defenses are way behind. We even had our poll question about two quarterbacks. I don't think we've ever had a poll question of which defense would you rather want. So I think for the most part, you have to get your quarterback if you want to win in this league.
You have to. It's interesting because I'm here.
Man,
in this article,
QBR stuff throws me off.
That's
that
ESPN
is.
Stuff, whatever. But in this article on Pro Football Talk, it says if you're going to use passer rating to compare quarterbacks, you simply can't use it to compare quarterbacks from different eras. If you do, you'll discover that Roger Staubach, Leroy's guy, led the NFL with an 84.9 passer rating in 1978. Okay? 84.9. Mitch Trubisky, who was benched by the Bears, was benched with an 87.4 passer rating.
Wow.
Staubach's career year of 84.9 in 1978. Trubisky benched with an 87.4. 87.4 in 2010 was still above average when the league average 10 years ago was 84.1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gary, what does it say to you? I mean, does it say that, yes, it's a passing, I get that, but have defenses gotten worse? Are corners worse?
No,
safeties
no,
worse?
No, Steve. It's what you've always said, Steve. What is it?
Flag football, baby.
Flag football, baby. That's what it
they,
is.
Well, they want it to be like arena football. They want
they
high
do.
Scores.
That's all it is. And even more so in this pandemic, they're not calling no flags right now.
Pandemic.
You know, and so, right, and they want
they
scoring. They want high scoring. Can't touch them.
No. Nope.
Can't touch the receivers no more either. And so
and
this
the
is
five
what they
yards
want.
Had to be
and,
a
and
big
now,
one.
And now here's what it's done. Now it's trickled down into the offensive line. Them jokers holding like never before right now, and they're not calling no holding. So that means the quarterback has more time to throw the football. That means gives the quarterback more time to be accurate. That's why those numbers are high.
Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane comes up next down there in Union Grove. Affordable family fun. Check them out right now. GreatLakesDragway.com.
I like
the racing until the snow flies, and you can get your 2021 season pass right now. Be a great holiday gift or birthday gift for somebody. If you want to get your season pass for next year ahead of time, go to GreatLakesDragway.com. Young Express needs to increase their independent contractor base, especially local drivers. These guys have been around since 1991. That's been 29 years already. And they're continuing to expand. Obviously, they're doing something right. Would be a great company to work with, right? A successful transporter of expedited freight. You pick stuff up, you drop stuff off. That's all you're doing. You're driving for a career. Local drivers stay within 250 miles of Milwaukee. That's a beautiful thing. Making short runs. Don't have to worry about driving all night like an over-the-road guy. Get sleep in your bed every night, not a motel or in your own vehicle.
That's important.
99% no-touch freight. This is the important one for me, being a small guy. That means the freight is loaded and unloaded with a forklift, which means no manual loading or unloading and breaking your back. Plus, you must have your own cargo van or sprinter van or the means to purchase one. With over 900 direct customers, Young Express has a need for drivers right now. Why Young Express? Well, they have a 24/7 dispatch team. They are currently extremely dedicated and take it very personal to keep drivers moving. This is easy if you don't understand why this is a big deal. If you are not driving to either pick something up or drop something off, you are in a stationary position and not making any money, which is not good for you at all. Looking for full-time independent contractors right now, go to youngexpress.com to get a hold of them. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.